evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, September 22nd, 2023. Sudan's rival leaders trade accusations.
In April, al-Munsarim yuwajih ash-sha'b as-Sudani.
Since the 15th of April, the Sudanese people have been enduring a destructive war launched on them by the rebels of the Rapid Support Forces.
And South Sudan's first vice president says the government should provide funds for completing the tasks in the revitalized peace agreement.
We need that to spend more on security arrangements and reform of the security sector. It will need us to spend on the refugees and the IDPs.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan's rival leaders took verbal swipes at each other in simultaneous speeches to the world that were amid justifying a bloody conflict that has left thousands of people dead and millions of people fleeing their homes. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Washington.
Abdul Fattah al-Burhan, the head of Sudan's Sovereign Council and commander-in-chief of its armed forces, officially represented the country in a speech to the annual United Nations General Assembly in New York. Burhan's speech Thursday focused on the ongoing conflict between his forces and the paramilitaries of the Rapid Support Forces.
Since the 15th of April, the Sudanese people have been enduring a destructive war launched on them by the rebels of the Rapid Support Forces in alliance with the tribal, regional, and international militias. They brought mercenaries from all over the world to commit atrocities on the Sudanese people.
Burhan called on world leaders gathered at the 78th General Assembly to designate the RSF as terrorists.
We ask you, Mr. President, and the international community to consider these forces and allied groups as terrorist groups that we should all stand against and fight to protect the Sudanese people, the region, and indeed the world, for they have killed thousands of people and displaced millions.
Sudan's head of state expressed gratitude to humanitarian organizations and countries that have come to the aid of the Sudanese people.
We urge humanitarian agencies and countries to make good on their promise to help the Sudanese people and fill the severe shortages in food, medicine, and shelter for wide sectors of Sudanese society that have been affected by this war.
RSF leader Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, a one-time Burhan ally, delivered his own speech posted on his official X account, speaking from an undisclosed location.
As I address you today, our beloved country is enduring the biggest war in its recent history, a war waged by the leaders of the previous regime, which the Sudanese people ousted in 2019, in alliance with the leadership of the Sudan Armed Forces.
Dagalo repeated RSF's account of the start of the conflict, saying it was initiated by army attacks on RSF bases in Khartoum.
After we were attacked, we had no choice but to exercise our legitimate right of self-defense and repulsing the aggression. This was the beginning of the war, which destroyed Khartoum and displaced more than 4 million from it, thousands in Darfur and Kordofan, and brought on humanitarian disaster besides the violation and abuses that come with war.
Dagalo said the RSF is committed to peace talks that address the roots of the conflict.
Today we renew our commitment to the peaceful process to end the war that has been imposed on us by the leaders of the Sudan Armed Forces and the leaders of the previous regime that still dream of returning to power. In that regard, the RSF has proposed a vision to end the war once and for all.
Burhan reiterated his commitment to restore Sudan's transition to civilian and democratic rule, where the army will exit power. Dagalo expressed the same, but added that any settlement must address Sudan's historical grievances resulting from power being monopolized by certain regions, which the RSF argue caused the current and previous conflicts in Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
For more insight in yesterday's speeches by Sudan's warring generals, Nabil Biagio reached out to Salman Mohammed Salman, a Sudanese political analyst, author, and expert on the rapid support forces. He first asked him what he thought of Burhan's speeches before the UN General Assembly.
I thought the speech that was characterized by a number of negative things. The first is the long list of accusations to the rapid support forces about all the atrocities that are committed, committed by the RSF, and he took a long time doing that. Everybody in the world knows that. People have seen it, have read about it, but the message that he conveyed, and without knowing that he's conveying, is that the army has failed to quell the RSF. The police has failed to quell the RSF. Why would the RSF continue to do all those and to continue now in the 6 months without being defeated, without being quelled by the army? So I think he tried to send a message of being the victim and needing support from the world. But I think the message he conveyed is that he and his army are quite helpless. And the second message that I got from his speech is that the whole world is trying to get the Sudanese armed forces and the RSF to sit down and resolve this issue by negotiations. You have the U.S. and Saudi Arabia playing a very prominent role. You have the European Union and the African Union doing their best. Here he comes, and he just went on and threw in a very hard line, telling the world, "No, I'm not going to negotiate." Those guys are so he didn't offer any window or any chance for negotiations. Just saying that the Sudanese are bad guys. I want to quell them. I need your help to do this. The last point is that I think when he came to the UN, he was thinking that he's going to gain legitimacy standing there at the podium of the General Assembly and giving the speech and having the number of heads of state or minister of foreign affairs or the representative sitting team. He thought that would give him legitimacy. But what happened after that, it just showed the opposite. He met with the Saudi ambassador, and I think there is a photo circulating in the social media that where he met with him for a very short time, and it was really kind of a courtesy call rather than official. No flags of Sudan or Saudi Arabia. Just a photo for them, and to say that it was only 4 or 5 minutes.
And RSF leader Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo made a rare appearance of his own by recording a video message from an unknown location, addressing a speech to the assembly in New York, although he was not invited, within an hour or so from Burhan's speech in New York. What did you think of the timing and the message he sent?
First, I don't want to challenge the authenticity of that recording, but I would like to get a little bit more confirmation that it's really authentic. It's not something that's been played around by the artificial intelligence.
But
I think, assuming that has been confirmed that he has delivered this speech, I think he's basically saying, look, there are two governments in the country. There are two leaders in the country. One leader is there, it is you in New York, and there is another leader whom you guys need to listen to. You cannot just listen to one person. And it's just the confirming the earlier messages about the negotiations in Saudi Arabia. That is a negotiation between two army officers, not between a government and a group that has gone into mutiny against the government. I think that was the message that he was trying to convey. And I think more important is also trying to refute the message that are circulating everywhere that he has been killed or he's disabled. So it's basically saying, look, Here I am talking to you about the same day the Burhan is talking to the General Assembly, and it tells you I am alive and kicking.
That's Salman Muhammad Salman, a Sudanese political analyst, author, and expert on the SRF. He was speaking to my colleague Nabil Biagio from the U.S. state of Virginia. South Sudan's first vice president, Riek Machar, says the transitional government of national unity should complete the tasks related to the conduct of elections as stipulated in the country's roadmap for the extension of the transitional period to 2024. For VOA News, Manyang, David Mayar reports from Juba.
Speaking at an event to mark the International Day of Peace on Thursday, First Vice President and the leader of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, or SPLMIO, Riek Machar, said the success of the 2018 peace deal depends on the implementation of pending tasks.
It will need to spend more on security arrangements and reform of the security sector. It will need us to spend on the refugees and the IDPs, the refugees that have gone to the neighboring countries. We should not leave it to them to come when they are under critical conditions.
South Sudan is expected to hold its first democratic elections in December 2024. Machar says the government should avail funds to finance the incomplete task of the peace deal.
Because if we talk of it and assuming that the money will come from the international community, we would be wrong. Because I believe we have the resources. We can do some activities ourselves, and those who are our friends would join us.
But South Sudan's Minister for Cabinet Affairs and Secretary General for the High-Level Implementation Committee, Martin Lialomoro, says South Sudan will conduct an election regardless of the country's financial situation.
You might feel that the government is not committed because it's not sponsoring programs of the agreement. I want to call upon you not to detract us from going for a type of election that is appropriate to our conditions.
The South Sudan government relies on crude oil exports for most of its revenues. In the 2023-2024 fiscal year budget, the government allocated 50 billion South Sudanese pounds for the implementation of the 2018 peace agreement. Michael J. Idela, the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, says South Sudanese leaders should be transparent with public revenues meant for creating stability in South Sudan.
A culture of peace also requires more than just political and civic space and security. It requires equal access to economic opportunity and the transparent use of public revenue to meet public needs.
Authorities in South Sudan are left with less than 15 months to prepare the country for elections in December 2024. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayer in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some 30 South Sudanese journalists say they are glad they received some training on how to cover elections. That story is coming up right after the break.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. As part of preparations for next year's anticipated elections, the managing director of South Sudan's media authority says training is vital for all journalists who wish to cover the country's first democratic elections. 30 South Sudanese journalists from around the country were trained this week in Juba on elections reporting and in digital era. The trainers say they want to equip South Sudanese journalists with safety tips and skills for responsible reporting. For VOA News, Juliana Shiapai attended the training and has more from Juba.
Speaking at the end of the 3 days training on Thursday, Elijah Alier, the managing director of South Sudan's media authority, says journalists who wish to cover the country's first democratic election should learn the basics of reporting on elections.
This training is very important. It talks about most of the issues of ethical principles for election and coverage during the elections. It teaches you with the techniques and terminology used in elections. Then guarding against fake news in elections. And then fact-checking. This thing comes in line with the challenges, with the skills that you acquire from these modules that are being packaged for the last 3 days.
Alier says he believes the South Sudanese journalists who were trained will now be able to dictate hate speech, incitement, and comments intended to assassinate characters of individuals as they cover the coming elections. He urges journalists to focus on responsible and positive reporting, adding that South Sudanese journalists should remember to put their country first. Solomon Siriwanja, executive director of the African Institute for Investigative Journalism and facilitator of the training, urges the South Sudan Media Authority to regulate and focus on well-being of the media in South Sudan.
The independence of the media remains very core for us as a media organization, and we go the distance to defend that independence and to ensure that the media in South Sudan does exactly what they're supposed to do. Be a true reflection of society, a mirror that will not be shattered, but a mirror that will clearly reflect the good, the bad, and the ugly through the elections.
The chairperson of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan says he has learned a lot during the training. Patrick Oyet says journalists are accountable to the South Sudanese who are expecting to get information from the media.
It's important. We are journalists. We seek to bring facts, truth to the public. But also we must remember that it is also a responsibility, that there is no journalism without responsibility. So we must be responsible enough and to know that we have a country and we have a duty as citizens of the country.
Angelina Achol, News and Programs Editor at Acolium FM, a community radio station in Awil, Northern Bahr El Ghazal State, attended the 3 days training. She says she will share the knowledge with her team back in Awil.
This is the first time we have given the election report in South Sudan. So we don't have any knowledge about election report. And I think this training will help us to work hard and also to improve our community on election process.
The United States Agency for Global Media funded the training. Peter Biangoma is VOA's regional marketing manager for East Africa. He urges South Sudanese journalists who attended the training to practice what they learned.
We have trained 30 journalists. We have a plan to train another 60 over the next 3 months. So that by the time we're in next year, at least we have trained 120 journalists. And this is the belief of Voice of America. We believe in partnering, some people believe in equipment, but we believe if we help you to create content and tell your story, and tell the story of people, so that the story can be shared, we do a better job to humanity and to the society.
The training titled Elections Reporting in the Digital Era was aimed at equipping South Sudanese journalists from television and radio stations with knowledge on how to cover elections. For VOA News, I'm Juliana Shepai in Juba.
And we must apologize for the quality of audio in this story. It's not our making. Sometimes you just have to go by what you have.
What do you think? People will speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your favorite meal?
I like chips and anything braai, whether chicken or beef.
My favorite meal is our fish, mainly jambo, and local vegetables like nkwani.
I love chapati. Like, I don't know why I love chapati, but I just love chapati. There's no reason for loving it. Like, chapati every day.
My favorite meal is jollof and rice with chicken. That will be best for me.
My favorite food, matoke, that is banana and beans. Banana and beans, yes.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
We love to hear your remarks on some of the issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is standing by with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. Many of you wrote to us this week about news and events we covered in this broadcast. We begin with this angry listener who did not leave a name, but they say, "Hi, VOA, Anisa FM in Western Equatoria State is stopped broadcasting our favorite program, South Sudan in Focus, for almost 2 months. When we asked the station manager, they told us that VOA supplied equipment for broadcasting South Sudan in Focus is broken down. My question to VOA management is this: why do you take so long to fix your own equipment? Why do you provide a service you cannot maintain? You must be a fake partner. I don't care if my comments do not make it on air." Mal Adao Mal in Seattle, Washington says, "Hello, VOA. South Sudan's literacy rate stands at 23% on average, of which over 15% of the 23% are in business economic professions. Unfortunately, 80% of them are young people. If they are given a chance to manage the economic sector of this nation, I believe they can make an enormous positive impact on the deteriorating and collapsing economy of South Sudan, and of course they must be from known and qualified universities." This fan says, "Dear Nabil Biagio, I am Thon Mamour in Kampala. The addresses, views, and challenges presented by African leaders in the United Nations General Assembly in New York are the real challenges faced by Africans. And some of the leaders are the cause of those problems due to poor governance, corruption, protracted conflicts, multi-ethnic politics, and insecurities. Thanks." Thomas Kuntoj in Old Fangak Payam in Fangak County in Jonglei State writes, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. Attending the General UN Assembly in New York by South Sudan's His Excellency President Kiir may yield a positive effect on the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. I wish all delegations a very safe journey to New York City and back to South Sudan. Almighty God be together with South Sudan leaders." James Roy Majok in Mayom County in Unity State writes, "Hi, Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. I am expecting His Excellency President Salva Kiir Mayardit and his delegation to meet with USA President Joe Biden to explain more about South Sudan peace and how people of South Sudan are suffering beyond suffering before elections conducted by peace agreement partners who have signed the agreement. But my surprise comes when I read a statement on CNN's website page that U.S. President Joe Biden will not meet South Sudan President Salva Kiir Mayardit due to several engagements with other diplomatic countries." Samuel Ramon in Ye writes, "Hi, John Tanzan, Nabil Biagio. The sanctions imposed on a few individuals have caused a negative impact on our lives." And finally, this fan says, "Hello, VOA. Call me Aligo Aligo in Juba. I am very disappointed about the killings of the Sultan and the two traders by unknown gunmen in Ombasi, Boma, Otogo Payam, Yei River County. We call the government of Central Equatorial State to ensure that killings of civilians are totally unacceptable. Civilians are dying, but no steps are taken. Why are civilians entitled to die while their leaders watch? We need the perpetrators to be taken to book. God have mercy on our people. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep those comments coming.
Keep your voice and text comments brief, and we shall sample every one of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. Again, I repeat, the number is +1 202 630 8011. We now take you to the Kenyan city of Kisumu with Tony Nyadondo singing in his native Luo language. Listening to Tony Nyadondo singing in his native Luo's language. I can assure you that if you sing in your local traditional language, we'll give you airtime. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Shadrach Franklin, We wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.